charity and giving. Yeah, not taking. Love is for giving, and love is not for taking. That's a formula. And practice contentment, practice gratitude, you know, with what we have, and practice also the active renunciation. Yeah, the renunciation of the material, of something external, so that we can find ourselves. So, a big thing in relationship, envy. Like this boy, you know, he has a small ice cream. You look at this girl having a big ice cream. Yeah. So we envy. Envy comes from the lack of acceptance of our karma, of our lot. Yeah. And the karma means the lessons to be learned in this life. And what comes to us by God's will? I mean, it's not our will, it's not our desire. It comes to us in order for us to understand it, accept it, learn from it, and we always compare, we always look at other people. So we need to learn acceptance, turning inward, yeah? Not comparing, reminding ourselves that everything is due to our own karma, and all is perfect because the lessons that we need to learn is perfect. Either we are poor, either we are rich, either we have good friend or bad friend, whatever, we just need to inquire about this, accept it so that we can learn from that, so we can be free ourselves from that, knowing that everything has a reason, everything comes from our own soul giving us that lesson in order for us to learn, to think correctly about ourselves and our true happiness. So assert that we are all is perfect, so don't envy, don't compare. Forbearance means that sometimes things are difficult, but you need to exercise the forbearance and the humility, and you know, and learn our unique lessons. I mean, our karmic lessons. So we need to have that feeling of humility. Otherwise, if we have the feeling of self-righteousness, you know, then we will not bear anything. If something doesn't come, then we get angry, we get envious. Remember that God always loves us. I mean, everything is all the time, is there for a reason, and God loves us. So jealousy is a big thing. As I found this beautiful photo of the kids being jealous. Jealousy comes from sense of entitlement. Yeah? Somehow we think that anything come to us is we are entitled for that. Possession, and we try to grasp it, and exclusiveness in love relationship. Yeah, love feel intense, so therefore, you know, and our mind is very much addressed to one object that we can see, yeah, that give us that feeling, so then it become the exclusiveness in love relationship. So a strong feeling, and from there jealousy is experienced when the beloved changes loyalty. Yeah, so that's a problem that we encounter in relationship, always afraid that the beloved would change loyalty. Yeah, and that the antidote is to evolve your relationship into a more inclusive relationship. So, you know, prevent it. If you, the more you are exclusive, the more you would suffer from this jealousy. So make your relationship become more inclusive. Be generous and giving in relationship, and exercise forgiveness. You know, don't just think that if somebody looking the other side and they don't love you, you know. And remember, passion is not love. So that jealousy comes strongly from passion. So remember, passion is not love. So how to heal our emotions? They are very deep rooted. You see the tree, you know, very deep rooted. And suffocate, you know, our heart. How to heal our emotions? How to heal emotional wound and free ourselves from negative mental patterns and suffering coming from conditional love. So we suffer from love, we have to know that our love is conditional, it's not pure. So how to heal it? How to recover ourselves from these patterns? Number one, we say self-love. Self-love means turning inward and see the self. Yeah. So to heal from emotional scars and patterns, we need to learn self-love and at the same time love of God, which we can talk later. But what is self-love? Self-love brings acceptance and makes the mind turn inwards to find happiness, but not outwards towards somebody on an external condition. So self-love or turning inwards to find oneself will make you stronger to be able to realize the love within that has always been there. So you need to turn your gaze, your hanging after love external, into the love that you recognize within ourselves by self-love, by turning yourself and start to love yourself, start to be aware and to notice yourself. Self-love is not egoistic. So it is the lack of self-love and awareness that creates these patterns of egoism and patterns of neediness, patterns of dependency, leading away from our true peace and our true love. So self-love, or turning inward to recognize yourself, brings about self-respect and self-discipline. And that will help relationship when you have self-respect. Okay? Self-love means self-respect. You have to have self-respect. You cannot just sit there and wait for somebody to respect you and to love you if you don't give yourself self-respect and self-love. And self-discipline comes with that. That means you have to learn to discipline your mind. Otherwise, your mind will show to you something else. It would go back to its old groove, and it would expect, and would resent, and it would be angry, and would be suffering. Yeah. So these are all coming from our patterns of not self-love. And what is love of God? Love of God, our devotion to the Supreme, helps us to relax. So now, before I say that, we have this also wrong pattern of love of God. We have our own kind of story of disappointment with our religious or spiritual kind of path. And then we have our own, hiccups there, our own kind of wrong thinking there. And so we close our door sometimes, to the love of God. But we need to rethink. We need to rethink. Maybe the way how we approach it is not correct. So that, but don't reject it, because when we are alive, we need to love, and that love we cannot. If you cannot say that is love of this and that, love of everything, and that is called that. Everything is called God. Love of God, or devotion. To the Supreme, knowing that everything that you see in this life is the Supreme, will help us to relax. Relax means not to worry, not to be afraid, to self-surrender. That means when you are really in love and you know that God is there, then you can relax. You don't have to fend for yourself so much, fend for our piece of happiness in this life. So we become so tense. But when we understand that God is there and love us, and love is a true background of all situations in life. Love is our own self. Love is a true nature of all things. Love is God. So we surrender ourselves to it, and we become humble. We break through our egoistic limitations and our emotional patterns and our identifications. Like I said earlier about identification with the body, but also identification with our mind, with our ego self, our separate self. You imagine the separation makes you suffer, and you identify with your separation to be yourself. So you keep hanging on to that suffering. So it's go in a circle all the time. So you have to break through this separation cycle through love. And there is no other way, besides learning what is true love and what is true self, what is true identification. Otherwise, we are in that circle, in that loop of suffering. So it helps us to surrender the ego. If you love God, you recognize there's something more than yourself. God is something more than yourself. So you learn to accept that, to make peace with that, to love that, to surrender yourself to that. To surrender the ego, Yeah, to surrender our own limitation, our own kind of idea that we carry with us. Yeah, and we are here, born in this life, in order to learn to break through it, but we are just kind of trapped by it. So we have to learn to surrender, to start from fresh. Yeah, start from fresh by surrender everything and just start to love God, to reconcile, to accept. Yeah, and that time it starts to heal our emotions. So we have to love the chosen ideal. So the idea of a chosen ideal is such a beautiful idea that you need to contemplate, because it's not something that somebody imposed on you. So this is a beautiful picture in the cave of Swami Vishnulivanji in the Himalaya, and his altar, and we are doing arati. So it's like the cave of our heart, you know. In the cave of our heart, we need to learn to love our chosen ideal. Yeah, so that means we have to recognize in the cave of our heart, there is that chosen ideal, there is that feeling, that idea of the beloved, the chosen ideal. So if you start to recognize that, it brings back the presence of love in our heart. There is that love in our heart, yeah, which is blocked by our identifications with our separate self, and also with our rejection, our closing off from this, sometimes our wrong learning of religion, of God. So we need to know that it comes from within. It doesn't come from outside. Love of our chosen ideal is the most intimate, sacred feeling, and not a display of our social conformity. So that sometimes we suffer from that. It's called our social conformity. So religious external form is not a goal in itself. So you can be here, you see Shiva and Parvati, Shiva Lingam, according to the whole teaching, Bhakti Yoga, that come from India, Hinduism. But it's not that we need to impose ourselves with, you know. Devotion is selfless and unconditional. So you have to go into this mystical literature and how they bring out this, you know, they depict this divine love in too many different forms. But the main thing is you need to start from yourself. Yeah, love of that chosen ideal transcends all religious conventions and rituals. It comes from within ourselves. Like I say, at the cave of our heart, and cannot be imposed from the outside. So that's why when we grow up, you know, then we start to ask ourselves question, who am I? And then we start to look inside, and we start to have this kind of sometimes, you know, split with our religious upbringing, you know, because we start to feel that we are not, our questions are not answered, you know, that love and devotion that come from external. But eventually, you would you have to reconcile with that, you know, and then it's you recognize that it is coming from inside, you know. Don't reject it. It comes from inside. It is our own inner aspiration and our own longing for union that is very much the theme of our life. So attachment to the external form or religious symbol is just a help and not a goal in itself. Yeah, because we suffer from separation, so we are longing. We don't know we're longing for what, you know. But we want to be united. So sometimes we hold on to something, yeah, that is a form, or, you know. But you know, through unconditional love and self-surrender, we transcend form and ritual and comes closer to God or pure love itself. So I share with you the story of my brother, you know, when he was young. I was babysitting my brother, and he's all the time crying and crying because his mother is not there, and she's just next door, you know, doing some business next door. But the moment that she's out of his sight, yeah, then he's crying as if he's losing her, because his mind at that time cannot understand that she's away, but she's actually all the time with him. Yeah, and she's not away, she's not far, and she's always loving him, but he cannot see that. So he starts to cry. So me as a babysitter, you know, I try to help. So finally I devise something that if I take a sweater of her and I give to him when she's not there, he holds the sweater and he stops crying, and it works. So it works because he holds onto the sweater, there is a vibration, there is a memory, because she wears the sweater, so there's a memory, there's a something he can see, he can touch, he can sense. And then he stopped that crying, that is the suffering coming from separation. So for us it's the same. Yeah, we suffer from the separation with our beloved, separation from our father, our mother, and then our divine father, our divine mother, and our divine beloved. So then we have to hold on to something in order to remember. So that's why all these religious items and all the different things is just to help us to remember. So this is a picture of Hanuman. Yeah? He opened his chest. The picture says everything. He opened his chest and he see his, you know, his beloved, you know, Rama and Sita in his heart. So Hanuman is representing the ideal of devotion. So the chosen ideal must be pure. Okay, that's one thing you need to understand, that you can choose your ideal, yeah, to love, but then it needs to be pure. Our chosen ideal of love can have the quality that we seek, like purity, eternity, knowledge, true inner power, beauty, perfection, bliss, righteousness. Yeah, so important that, because what we love is what we become. So we need to choose our ideal that can represent that. So in you know, religious scripture, literature, then you can choose your ideal. Yeah, and you can adopt that ideal. So in doing so, learn to respect others' way to truth. Yeah, it can be, you know, Buddha, Jesus, Allah, Muhammad. It can be many different ways according to your tradition and what you feel connected with. But remember, the names are many, but God is one. Okay, paths are many, but truth is one. It's like you call water, you're thirsty, you call water by different names. Yeah, you can call it vasa, agua, you can call it nước in Vietnamese, you can call it what, pani, you know, but it's all H2O, and you are thirsty, you need the H2O to quench your thirst. You need that union with God to quench your thirst of separation. So whatever path that is there in front of you, just embrace it and adopt it, and then just practice. So the chosen ideal is your chosen aspect of God. Yeah, one can choose a chosen ideal according to your own temperament, according to which aspect of divine you feel the closest with. Okay, so the chosen ideal of Mother Teresa is Lord Jesus. So she always do everything for him. So there are three aspects of reality or of God that you can feel connected with. So in the Bhakti Yoga, it says very clearly, so it's like a science, you know. So you can see, you can feel the connection to the creator. Yeah, the aspect of creation is called Lord Brahma. You can feel the connection to the preserver, the aspect of preservation of nature. You know, you marvel how everything is beautiful, everything is sustaining. So that is Lord Vishnu. And the feeling of connection to the aspect of change of Lord Shiva, or the aspect of transformation. Yeah, you love the transformative, you know, mystery that exists in life. So you can choose this. The chosen ideal can be the Divine Mother energy. You know, this is a Divine Mother Lakshmi. She's very beautiful. She's standing in the lotus all around her. She has no weapon different than Durga, and she has her hands pouring out. She's giving, and then she has a lotus in her hands. So you can see the divine in the energy of nature. Okay? So she represents also Divine Mother Nature, or the energy of consciousness. So devotion can be to the Divine Mother, the divine manifestation underlying life. So when you look at things and you understand, You have to recognize the divine hand behind all things. So that time you recognize the Divine Mother. So you can choose to identify her as the goddess Saraswati, who is the Shakti or the power, the energy of Brahma, the power of creation, the energy of intelligence, of knowledge, of creativity, of wisdom. So when you see somebody that has intelligence, has knowledge, you know, has wisdom, basically if you marvel about them, you have to recognize this is a goddess Saraswati that is speaking through them. See, so you love the energy of God or goddess instead of getting attached to a person. You see, that's the idea. So the Shakti of Vishnu is Lakshmi. Yeah? So the goddess Lakshmi, the energy of peace, of love, of harmony, of virtue, of righteousness, of beauty, of prosperity and wealth. So if you love the money, you are greedy, for example, then basically you need to translate it back into the love of the goddess Lakshmi that is giving everything in this world. And she's caring for everybody, giving us everything we need. So we need to worship her, and that will help us to detach from our desire, you know, and our separateness from her that makes us become greedy or, you know, needy. So the Shakti or the power of Shiva is called Durga, and she's representing our inner strength, our fearlessness, you know, facing life. So she's a combative, the strength that is within us that makes us, you know, fearless. Okay, so that's the divine energy manifested in life that you can choose to love in the core of your heart. So you can call upon and remember the name of the beloved through mantra repetition. Once you establish who's your beloved, yeah, because our mind need to identify how the love would go, you know, because it's very difficult for our mind to love something abstract that you have no name, no form, nothing to connect with. So you need to you can call, it's something you can call upon, you can pray, and you can remember the name of the beloved. It's like you love somebody, you always, you know, have their name in your mind. And you know what they do, their form, like this. So the same, you apply it towards the divine that come from your heart. So through mantra repetition. Okay. So what that means, you have to learn a little bit. Every aspect of the divine has a corresponding mantra, which can be considered to be the name of the divine. Mantra is a certain kind of sound vibration, pure sound vibration. So for example, mantra for peace, to remember our connection and our oneness that we can use to repeat all the time. So you repeat the name of the Lord of Peace, and that peace you become, and peace that's what you see, and peace that's that what you recognize within you. If you repeat the name of the Lord of Love, yeah, then it's love that you see, it's love that you recognize within you, and then love that you experience. Yeah, because all is one. Okay, so the mantra for the Preserver, Lord Vishnu, the Lord of Peace, is Om Namo Narayanaya. The mantra of Sri Krishna, the Lord of Love, for example, is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The mantra of Goddess Durga, who removes fear and who loves and protects you like your mother, is Om Sri Durgayai Namaha. So you need to approach a spiritual teacher in this organization. You know, the Swami can give you a mantra that is through a process we call mantra initiation, but you have to be already, you know, walk the path of yoga and acquainted with meditation and learn what is mantra and so on. You know, you have to learn. Then you can adopt the mantra and you can repeat it daily using the mala beads or the rosary. And you repeat it daily to keep the divine connection, you know, just by keep repeating daily without you knowing, you know, that sense of control, you know, would turn into the sense of a divine connection and will purify the mind from all other attachments. So yoga relationship is to be practiced daily with all. So you learn to see God in our daily interactions and relationships and cultivate selfless love, thus growing in closeness to what we long for and growing in oneness to our ideal of pure love. So how to cultivate divine closeness? That's what you want. How to come close to God and to feel more our heart of love. So develop the internal feeling towards the divine. You have to develop. It's something you have to practice. It's not coming overnight. You'll be born with it or something. It is an inner attitude. Okay, a bhava means an inner attitude in life. This will help to sublimate or transform our selfish attitudes. Because of our selfishness, that we have a certain, we have an attitude. So from having an attitude, then we have problem. So now we need to transform our attitude. Yeah. So you have to sublimate our attitude. Yeah? That is called our inner bhava. Yeah? So find your type of divine connection. So I put the fire here because that divine connection or that inner thing that is pushing us is like a fire from within. Actually, it burns us from within. Everybody, if you look, their motivation in life, either they do this, either they do that, it's all there, pushed by an inner fire. And that inner fire is our desire, strong desire for connection, for union, for overcoming that sense of, existential sense of depression that comes from our sense of separateness. And all the different methods that we use in life in order to patch that feeling. So find your type of divine connection, your inner bhava, develop it. This is based on your preferred human relationship, so find out what is in your mind, what's your issue, and what is you are prone to, what is it that you're thinking the most about. Yeah, so that is called our human relationship pattern. And then turn it, apply it to the pure ideal. For example, we love to have a friend, an intimate friend. So that will be your bhava, will be friend. You love to have, you need to mend your relationship toward your parent, your father, your mother. Yeah, you have that relationship very strong with you. So then you turn it into the divine father, the divine son. So that will be your bhava. You love to have a perfect wife, a perfect husband. And at that time, that will be your bhava. You become the husband or the wife, toward the divine. And you love to have your beloved, your intimate romantic love. So then you can turn that toward the beloved that is divine. And you love to serve, and to feel humble and to serve, because that's when you feel yourself the most. Then fine, then you can then apply that toward the feeling we call servant master. And usually when you have a guru, it's that very much the feeling of I'm serving my spiritual master. Okay? So remember, this is the story of that you need to contemplate the idea there is no other. No other. Yeah? There is no separation. There is no other. There is only oneness. All relationships are truly relationships with your own self. There is no separation, in fact. And one needs to learn love. Again, I repeat. Learning love. Problems in relationships are learning lessons of our karmic emotional patterns. Love is there. But why we need to learn love? Because we carry with us our wrong patterns. That is called our karma. So accept it. Focus on it, think about it, and try to switch it. The mind works with habits. The mind reproduces impressions of past relationships. We carry with us patterns learned in childhood and past lives. Look at this cat. How he come and he sit on my chair. Immediately when I move, he come and he sit in my chair to get the energy. So, the mind works with our conditioning. So, all relationships are karma. Yogic teachings on karma say that we choose our father and mother and our life circumstances to learn our relationship lessons. We are learning to see the oneself beyond all our egos in interacting with each other. Okay, so the relationships are our egos interacting with each other, and in that interaction with each other, we learn, you know, our relationship karma, or we learn our pure love. So we need to discipline our mind and our heart. So yoga helps us to do that. We are all perfect inside, but our minds need to be molded in order for us to be able to reflect the perfection that is within us. So when we are working on our mind, we are actually molding our mind in order for us to be able to see better what is there. Okay? We need to practice self-inquiry. What is self-inquiry? We talk about self-love, now we say self-inquiry. We need to do self-inquiry so that we can become free from past impressions, and we correct our pattern of reproducing past relationships. You need to ask, who am I? Is this real? Is this lasting? Yeah. Is this unreal? Is this temporary? So anything that is temporary, yeah, will change. Yeah. So how are you going to deal with our attachment in relationships? Because it will change. And we have difficulty to accept the change. But, you know, ultimately everyone will have to face their end, you know. We're not living in the body forever, nobody. So therefore, this is something that we need to face. And from there, from the fear of separation or the angst that come from separation, we have to inquire into the true nature of reality, you know, that is beyond this fear and you know, this false concept of what is true relationship. So finding a relationship with love itself, so that's the idea. Yeah? Instead of finding a relationship with this object or that person, you find a relationship with love itself, beyond all names and forms. So that means the one present that you nurture all the time within your heart is love itself. And that we call God is love, love is God. You know, love itself is that relationship that we need to maintain. So that means that we are not losing heart of that love, losing view, sorry, losing view. I mean, we need to constantly feel it within our heart, yeah, beyond names and forms. Don't put, you can see it outside, but don't get confused that you project it outside and you think that that lovable object, you know, has that intrinsic quality of love. The intrinsic quality of love is within you that see the love within them, and that bring us all to that true picture of love that is a true picture of reality. Okay? So it's not that the one that you see as the beloved is not loving. Of course, the true nature of reality is love. Of course, they are love itself. Okay? But try to get out of that kind of thinking, so that you can start that love from within yourself. You see, you recognize the love within yourself, you maintain the contact relationship with that love within yourself, and whatever that is outside, you recognize the same love, within ourselves, that is not selfish, but it's a selfless love beyond names and forms. So that's how you achieve some kind of love, you know, permanent and yet detached. So cultivate the divine love in relationships to free us and achieve lasting happiness. And that happiness will not be conditional, that bring about fear, but that happiness will be lasting. You know, there's no other way around. So apply the 9 traditional ways of sublimate emotion. So the Bhakti Yogas teach us these 9 modes of how to improve selfless love, how to sublimate our emotions into devotion, and how to overcome egoism according to the teaching of this, you know, Bhakti Yoga, that method. I put a picture of the bird because, you know, love sets you free. So here, you ready? Long list. But this is the thing that you can apply in daily life. So the 9 traditional ways, yeah, from the Bhakti Yoga School to cultivate selfless love in daily life. So the first teaching says, listen to inspiring divine stories. Okay? So how you apply that in daily life, how you learn to see God in daily life. So develop the capacity to listen to others without judgment. Be honest in what you say about yourself. Yeah, so that is the whole act. How to listen to others with empathy, without judgment, and how to learn to communicate. Okay, so already if you learn to communicate, you already feel very good. You feel the connection is there. But sometimes you don't know how to communicate your true feeling. See, so you have to learn to do that, and then sing God's glory. So you need to, of course you can do kirtan, learn to sing praise in God, but you have to learn to praise others in daily life and look for their positive qualities and one's own positive qualities. You have to look for their positive qualities in others, praise them. You have to look for your own positive qualities, praise yourself, and see this is God's, you are praising God. This is God's glory. Okay? The number 3 is remembrance of His name and presence in prayers. So that means you remember your mantra, the name of God. You learn, and in daily life, you learn to hold people you love in your heart in a prayerful mood. Yeah? Feel it sacred. Feel the sacredness of relationships. Don't feel entitlement, but see how it is actually God coming to you by being detached and forgiving. Be grateful for all people whom you interact in your life. Okay, so hold this relationship as sacred. Remember God in them and say prayers constantly. So you need to spiritualize your life. Somebody just sent me this photo. So, service with humility. Learn to actively serve. So when you love, you have to serve. Actively serve everyone as God, whether you like them or not. That's difficult. You like to serve, but you only serve those who you have some kind of connection. Yeah. So, but to learn true love, you have to love and serve everyone equally. And you have to learn to worship. Worship, you can worship God. Different modes of worship you can learn. You know how to do rituals worship. Concretely, you have to go through the move. In the puja, we learn how to offer flowers. You just keep offering 108 names and you offer flowers. So then you practice that giving, come from our heart, giving out, from our heart, giving out. Like this, flowers means love. So that's what we practice. And in daily life, we can learn to see God in relationships. Offer your time and presence as the offering. And also offer to them beautiful gift. If you love someone, give them gift, as if they are being offered to God. So when you offer things to God, so you can offer to people around you, beautiful gift. Prostrations. Prostrations means you have to be humble. You have to apply in daily life. You have to learn to give the utmost respect to people you encounter, or people surrounding you, no matter who they are. So you have to kind of prostrate. So in the ashram, Swamiji teach us that we have to, bow to people by repeating mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, like this, you bow. In the West, we don't have that habit, but we have to bow mentally, You know, in the East, in India, that they bow, they bend and their back, and they touch your feet. You see, so or they touch, you know, the lower part of your body by bending. You see, so this is a real practice to bend our ego, because our ego is that which makes us don't have proper relationship and connection. So by learning to bend, that's how immediately you create the connection. Okay, by being humble. Not by being the commander, or not by being the one in control, you know. So learn to practice this. It's very easy. Yeah, you just need to bend a little bit, feel soft for a little bit when you meet somebody like this. So apply devotion in daily life. Cultivate the feeling of being a servant of God. Learn to develop an attitude of self-sacrifice. So being a servant, you know, no one here in the West like to be a servant of nobody because we learn to be equal for everybody, and you know, so, but it's a thing about this, it's a very good practice there, you know, to be humble and to serve somebody. I believe that's why in the West, you know, we suffer a lot from isolation because of the me and mine attitude, you know, never bend, never serve. So people are very lonely. I think it's a drama of our society. The people are very lonely, so they are constantly, you know, now they are constantly on cell phone, you know, constantly on sending message or something, because they are actually lonely. So we need to cultivate that divine connection, yeah, by serving, yeah, serving God. Develop the attitude of self-sacrifice. Yeah, so you think of the other and not thinking of yourself. In the true relationship, you have to learn to sacrifice, because you are not sacrificing yourself. You are actually replacing it with another kind of energy that you get from that sacrificing of yourself. You're learning to get actually a higher energy that coming from your true self. So actually you're not losing anything when you sacrifice. So also we need to cultivate our feeling of friendship of God. That means you come closer, yeah, so to God. So that means that you apply in daily life, you learn to open your heart equally to all without ulterior motives. Well, ulterior motives and discriminating who is higher or lower than you. Okay? So friendship, that's what it means, yeah, certain kind of you know, equality, you know, so you become open and friendly with everybody. Not that like you have to make friends, you know, because we make friends very often time come with attachment again, you know, expectation again. But you have to be friendly, you have to be friendly with everybody. And then complete self-surrender. Okay, so that's number nine, the nine modes of bhakti, or the ninth practice. It's the most difficult practice. It is called the practice of complete self-surrender. So what that means, you know, it's like this picture here, the baby cat, the kitten, you know, is in the mother's mouth and completely relaxed. She's not afraid mother is going to drop her. Yeah, so the same, so the devotee or the one that in love is always relaxed, know that everything is fine. Yeah, you are in the hands of the Divine Mother. And you just have to relax, and whatever happens, always for the best. And then you completely self-surrender, and then you're free from tension and stress and wanting and desire and running away and running toward and all this agitation that we have in life because we don't have that sense of faith and trust and self-surrender. So we have to learn to accept all things happening to you with equanimity, that means with equal-mindedness. And then overcome our own expectation and our own judgment about anything done by yourself or others. Okay, so we need to learn that. That's part of self-surrender. We judge ourselves, we hate ourselves, we reject ourselves, we reject others, we pick and choose. So all this coming, going, and all these things, you know, we are not trusting, we are not patient, you know, we are so afraid that we want to be in control, You know, so all this we need to let go. We need to let go to find our own heart, to find our own peace, to find our own love. We need to let go, surrender, you know, listen to our heart, follow, you know, be loyal in our heart. Okay, practice that loyalty. Don't let the ego come interfere, create a lot of heartache, a lot of misery in our life. So remember, all is at all times perfect. So we say the prayer now for peace and harmony for all. May the whole world attain peace and harmony. Asato ma satgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityu ma amritam gamaya. All is perfect. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnam Purnayajashate Purnasya Purnama Daya Purnameva Vashishate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.